Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite movies and shows. We focus on representation and the voices that are ignored.
Yo, 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 it's Salam Nerds. My name is Lee, a.k.a. Watch Me Lee, and I'm here, my boy, Jack.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
That was cool.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neves, a.k.a. Watch With Neves, and we are here with a special guest. But first, let me introduce my co-host, DJ Flurkin.
I approve. I love the cats so much. Right? But no, let's go straight to Sagar, man. That was great.
Sagar, welcome back to our show. You were the first celebrity to ever be on our show, and we're so happy to have you back, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, happy to be back. It's been a little over a year. And you know, you say celebrity, and that makes me feel weird. I don't see myself as that. Just a guy. You know,
you're a celebrity to us. That's all that matters. Even before you were on the show, you were always a celebrity to us. It was your beard that had more fame than you.
Stardom, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, when we asked people, "Oh, do you have any questions for Sagar?" they were all about your beard routine.
Back then or currently?
Both. Not
back then, even currently now, they're still talking about your beard routine.
And wow. That's so funny. I haven't had a beard since literally the day of the Miss Marvel premiere. Last time I talked to you guys, I had already shaved it off.
Yeah,
maybe. Right now, I have just a mustache, but like, you know, I'm a little dirty right now. I don't care. I don't care about anything anymore, guys.
Living the dream. I love it.
We're doing it live, guys. We don't care about anything right now. Whatever. Yeah. So, like, when you were shooting the Marvels, that was right after Miss Marvel, right? So, like, when the premiere and everything happened, you had already shot your scenes for the Marvels? Because you had the beard.
Yeah. So, for half of the movie, it's a real beard. And for the other half of the movie, it was fake.
No.
That makes sense, though.
It's so funny because, like, we did principal photography right after we finished shooting Miss Marvel. We had like a 3-month break, and then we went to London to do principal photography, and then like a year later, Miss Marvel came out. And I decided that the day of the premiere, like an hour before the premiere, walking the red carpet, I was with my hair and makeup person and my wardrobe person. And I was like, you know what? Let's go crazy. Let's move it. Let's get it over with. And so I did it. And then I like immediately freaked out after I got rid of it. I was like, oh, fuck. I should have talked to more people about this. I should have like... I should have thought about this more. And then I was like, well, it is what it is, right? So we did the premiere. We had the premiere. And then nobody recognized me, which, you know, worked against me. But then the next day we had our press junket day. And we did that big one, the one where Kevin Feige was there. And so after that interview ended, Kevin Feige walks up to me and he's like, hey, how long is it going to take to grow that back? And I thought he was just like, you know, joking with me. And I was like, yeah, it'll be back in a few weeks. The next day I get an email from someone at Marvel saying, don't touch your facial hair because we need you back in London in 2 weeks for reshoots. And I was like, what the hell, man? You couldn't tell me this yesterday? So anyways, I
stopped shaving.
And it was like probably three times this length by the time I got back to London. And I had to go into to work an hour and 45 minutes earlier than I would normally have to every day, because that's how long it took for them to put on the fake beard and then give it a haircut to make it look like my real beard. And we had to do that every single day for like 15 days.
That's so funny. I could totally imagine Kevin Feige coming up to you and being like, God damn it. That's hilarious. I mean,
this is, you know, even with that, he's got bigger things to worry about. It's not like the hair and makeup department can't handle a little fake hair that you do all the time.
Okay.
So what I was saying, like, if I were you, man, in that situation, I would just mess with Kevin Feige. Like, yeah, I'll grow back in a few hours. No big deal.
I mean, that's what I thought the joke was. It'll be back in a couple of weeks. Because, like, you know, to us, that might be a real thing. But to a white man, growing a full beard in 2 weeks, that was the joke to me. It didn't land.
I have never seen Kevin Feige with facial hair, so I don't even know he knows we can grow that fast.
Yeah, that's true. He's a pretty clean-shaven guy, head and all, right?
Yeah, with the baseball cap. Kevin Feige is actually from New Jersey, I realized.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, man, that's why he got the baseball cap. So tell us a little bit about, like, did you expect the Khan family to be in this movie? Like, when did you find out you were going to be in this movie?
It's funny, actually. They had my manager's email address wrong, and they had been trying to email him and let him know for like 3 weeks, and I was like, well, guess I'm not in the movie, because the parents had already known, and, you know, they were aware that they were going to be in it. And I was just like, I guess I'm not. That's okay. That's fine. Whatever. And then someone reached out directly to me, and they're like, hey, we've been trying to reach your manager, but he won't respond. But we want you to be in a scene in the Marvels. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Go to London for 2 weeks, you know, for free. They put me up. I do a scene in the movie. Great. And then I heard that they want me in two scenes, one scene in the beginning and one scene in the end. And then like 48 hours before my flight to London, I get a call from the AD, and he's like, hey, so I know we told you to be here that to pack for like 2 to 3 weeks, but I just want to let you know that Kevin wants you to be in the whole movie. So pack for 3 months. And I'm like, holy shit, I was supposed to go to London for 2 weeks. 48 hours before I'm going, you tell me to prepare to be gone for 3 months. So then I did, right? That's how it happened. I found out that I was going to be in that much of the movie 48 hours before my flight.
That's wild. How did your wife feel about that?
Well,
that's crazy.
She was excited, right? Because like I was gonna go to London for 2 weeks alone. Her passport was having issues at the time. Like it was expired and she needed to renew it, but that didn't really give her the incentive to renew it because, well, he's gonna be back in 2 weeks. But then when we found out that I'm gone for 3 months, she was like, yo, let's expedite this shit. Cause I get a companion pass, right? So it took a month for her passport to come in. So I was in London alone for a month. And then she came and she was there for 2 months. We were living in an apartment in Mayfair, which is one of the two blue pieces on the British Monopoly board. So that was nice.
Living
life. I was living the high life.
Oh, cool.
Dope, dude. That's super awesome. We're going to the comments real quick.
I was going to say, speaking of your wife, what about your on-screen wife?
Yeah, I was really sad that she wasn't there. You know?
Oh, what happened to her?
I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. You know, I wasn't supposed to be in the movie as much as I was in the movie.
My theory is you can't travel in space if you're pregnant.
I don't know. I just don't know.
So real quick, let's go through the comments. Ron was asking, what was the most challenging part of being in the MCU?
The most challenging part of being in the MCU is checking my ego constantly. Understanding that I will always just be the brother of a superhero. You know, I'll be nothing more than that as long as I'm in the MCU. That's honestly the most challenging part for Sagar as an actor, is like understanding how far my career will go in the MCU. I'll never be a superhero, and I'll never get the chance to now that I'm, you know, in the MCU just as the brother of a superhero, which is, I'm thankful to be there, because if I wasn't there, who knows if I would be in the MCU ever, period. Other than that, I would say it's like just the hours and the time commitment on set. Sometimes you're there for like 12 hours and you haven't even started. You're not even on set yet, you know?
Wow.
Sometimes you're there for 12 hours and then you are about to go to set, but then they're like, oh, you know what? They pushed your scene to tomorrow. So then you're just like, damn, I was here for 12 hours just sitting in my trailer. My phone's almost dead because my charger didn't work. And and I could have done this and that all day today, but, you know, not get in trouble here.
Of course, of course. Do what you got to do, man. Like, but, and if anything, we can always cut things out if you need us to. Like, we don't want you to get in trouble.
Yeah. But I'm also trying not to sound ungrateful, because I really am.
What you're saying, like, it sounds like, you know, there are frustrations working in an industry like this, as there are in any industry. And, you know, it's just part of the job. But no, alhamdulillah, you're doing really well, man. So we're glad to see it.
Thank you, man.
And we're glad to have you, like, on the silver screen, because, you know, representation's always lacking. I'm glad they got an actual, you know, Muslim person to, like, play the role. Like, in fact, my favorite scene in the Marvels was that second scene you're talking about, where you were, like, coming down from space, and you were just saying the Shahada over and over again.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. Did you do that, or was, like, that was part of the script?
It wasn't a part of the script, but I didn't improvise it. It was that was a conversation. So like I said, right, I was only supposed to be in 1 to 2 scenes of the movie. And then I was told that, you know, Kevin wants you in the whole film. That means they really had to make space for me, because the script wasn't written with me in mind, you know, right, being there the whole time. So everything that, you know, I did or said in the final cut, most of them, some of them were improvised definitely, but a lot of them were like conversations. Hey, what would Amr say in a moment like this? Like in a moment where he's seeing, you know, space for the first time, what would someone like Amr say? And I said, he'd say Subhanallah, because like, you know, you see something as big and beautiful and grandiose as space, and the first thing you think of as a Muslim would be like, wow, Subhanallah, like God did this, you know? So they were conversations like that. What would Amr or someone like Amr do if he could be dying any second? And what would the answer be?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like, okay, so that's how that scene came to be. Because I was like, I don't think I've never thought about the day I would see someone just saying, you know, Shahada like that on a silver screen. Like, it was just different, and it made me so happy, man. Like, you have no idea how much I love that scene. I'm so glad it was you that did it. Like,
yeah, thanks,
it was
man.
So good.
It's a big moment, you know. Like, it's cool to be the one that like said the Ayatul Kursi in the MCU, and recited Ayatul Kursi and recited Shahada in the MCU. You know, and it's so funny because like that's pretty far off from me. But I have the knowledge.
Yeah, of course.
You know? So, which is, you know, why authenticity and representation are so important. Because, like, had they not cast a Muslim person for that role, how would they bring what I bring to the role?
Exactly. Exactly. You know? So,
and, yeah.
Absolutely.
Did Samuel Jackson say motherfucker around this set? All the fucking
time.
That
is another question in the comments. Yeah.
All the time. He said it like, yeah, he said it all the time. And it was so special. It's so special when Samuel L. Jackson calls you a motherfucker. You know, what a privilege.
That's funny, man. Like, I never thought I'd be so happy if somebody called me motherfucker, but you're right. If Samuel L. Jackson did that, I would have loved it. So yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. Here's another question. Does catering on set have halal food?
Not a single time.
Wow.
Not even on Ms. Marvel, actually.
Ooh.
And wow.
That was actually pretty surprising to me. I remember the first day on set for Ms. Marvel, when catering was there, there was like pork options, and I was like, "What? I thought I was gonna be able to eat everything here." But yeah, that was not the case. At the end of the day, most of the crew is still like white, and you know, and the caterers are white for the most part. So like, it is what it is. You just gotta pick what you can eat, right?
Makes sense.
We live in a white man's world and a white man's industry.
That's true. Go for the vegetarian.
We're taking over.
We're coming.
So here's a question. You were known for ad-libbing on the set of Ms. Marvel. Did you do any of that here in The Marvels?
I
guess you kind of answered that already, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, some of it did. Like, some of it was like the remote control thing that I did at the end when I tried to turn off Muniba. I remember just seeing a remote in the box that I was like carrying. There was a bunch of random things in there, and I just grabbed it and I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna try to turn her off." And then I was surprised they kept that. What else? Like I said, most of the things were conversations. Like, I want to say even the part where I said, you guys are the same age or something like that. When Dag, who's played by my good friend Abraham, when Yusuf asked Dag, "How old are you?" and he said 300, and I was like, "Oh, same age." I'm pretty sure. I don't remember if that was improvised or not. I feel like that was a conversation. And now, Amr, can you just like say something funny or something like that? And then I pitched a few things and then it happened.
Gotcha. No, it's wild. Like, you would think that these movies would have like scripts all the way through, but it really sounds like a lot of it was improvised and it worked really well. So,
well, they did have a script all the way through, but they make changes pretty regularly throughout the process, you know. And then there's a new script that's updated every day.
Gotcha. Yeah, because like, we're not in the film industry, so we don't know any of this. That's a general
thing for every set that I've been on so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what other sets have you been on? Now that I'm just curious, because like,
well, I mean, there's the Marvel stuff, and then there's Deli Boys, which is my new show.
Tell us about that.
That I'm excited to talk about. That's a cool show. That's it's me and okay. So It's me and Asif Ali. Do you guys know Asif Ali?
I know of him. I have never met him in person like I've met
Sure,
him.
Yeah. So it's about two brothers who whose dad moved to the U.S. in like the 80s. And it's a typical immigrant story where, you know, I came here with $3. He lived in a one-bedroom apartment with nine roommates, you know, and they were all deadbeats. And he look at him like, these motherfuckers aren't going to do shit with their lives. But me, I'm going to make it. And they lived upstairs from a gas station. Okay. And he worked at that gas station.
And then like a lot of us.
Cut to, I know, right? Exactly. Cut to current day. Baba owns 900 gas stations, 400 laundromats, etc. He's a fucking mogul. Okay. And he has two sons, Raj, who is the older brother, and he's like the stoner brother. He's like, yeah, I don't want to do any work. I just want to get an allowance from Baba, maybe $100,000 a month, and I'm good. You guys do your thing, you know? And then there's Mir, the younger brother, who's like, you know, I want to take over the company. I want to walk in Baba's footsteps. I want to be exactly like Baba, right? And so those are the two brothers. And Baba takes the two brothers golfing, and he tells them, like, you know, boys, I want to show you our new business venture. You're standing on it. You know, we're going to get into the golf industry, blah, blah, blah. And then Baba gets into a crazy accident and Baba dies.
Oh, no.
And this is all public information. If you Google Delhi Boys, this part, I'm telling you everything that's already there. No spoilers that aren't a part of what's been released. So then the boys, you know, something needs to happen to the business, the corporation. You know, there's execs that want to take over, but the boys also don't want to lose all their dad's shit. So then they go in and they're making a case for Mir, like, this is why Mir should run the business. And then basically the FBI raids the entire operation while the brothers are making their case. And so now the boys lose their dad and all of their money. Their houses are seized, their assets are frozen, everything is done, right? And they find out that Baba was actually a kingpin, like the biggest coke distributor in America. And so that's actually the business that the boys are inheriting. And now they have to figure out how to run that business.
And wow.
That's where the first episode ends.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, Neves is asking, what streaming service is this on, or what TV channel is it going to be on?
It's going to be on Hulu. We haven't started shooting it yet, but we will start shooting it early in January, or maybe mid-January, something like that.
Cool, yeah. Oh, so, cool. Our and favorite out on commenter.
Yeah. It should be out. I want to say it'll be out, like, I mean, don't quote me on this because I have no idea when they're going to release it, but I know it's not a super VFX heavy project like Marvel is, so it shouldn't take that long to release. I want to say it'll be out maybe in the summer, and it'll be on Hulu, yeah.
Great timing, because we have another show that I'm looking forward to this summer. Neves, you want to talk about that real quick?
No, I contractually cannot talk about it yet.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
You can text me. I want to know now.
it's a reality show.
Oh, hey. Say no more.
You got it, right?
Gotcha. It's like every brown person knows of this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really cool. I'm really excited for you, man.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. They start filming in 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, I have so many questions, but you know what? Maybe I'll interview you when that's out.
Yes, yo, let's do it.
That'd be fun.
It'll be Haram Nerds.
Yeah.
We've always thought about doing that as a Patreon, like, exclusive kind of thing. us unfiltered.
Yeah, like this is like your halal version, and then that one would be like your fuckboy version of the same podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because there are some nights here where I will just go off the rails and I'll make some really bad jokes, and people are like, whoa, where did that come from? And so they're like, okay, I gotta dial it back.
That's the thing. People, when you have like salam in your title, or halal in your title or something like that, people expect a level of decorum, I guess, that I inherently as a person just don't abide by that standard. I'm a lot like lower class than that, I guess. In their eyes.
I always tell people salam is a universal word for peace be upon you. And basically every religion that speaks Arabic uses it. So don't hold us to it.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
So I think that's really funny. Speaking of that though, and speaking of Arabic, one thing that I do like, and like a little reference or an Easter egg from Ms. Marvel, is that Amr is the first one to tell Kamala, hey, say Bismillah before you go to your driver's test. And then, you know, she takes this and she listens to it. And then when she does her final move at the very end, she says Bismillah. So it kind of shows that like she listens to her brother, even though she's a superhero, he's still such a big influence in her life. And I love that dynamic between the two. Can you talk on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Amr is a lot older than Kamala. So like, you know, typically I feel like in a sibling relationship, I have two brothers, right? One of them is older and one of them is younger. And my older brother is, I brought a lot of him into the Amr role. Because my older brother is like the more religious one. He's the, I wouldn't call him like, he's not as religious as Amr is meant to be. But he is involved with the masjid, and he, you know, he's just a better influence than me on our younger brother, right? Mm-hmm. And so I took a lot of my older brother and I brought that into what Amr would be like to play with that, right? And so what I was getting at is like my younger brother is influenced by both of us in different ways. And I think with me, he saw my mistakes and tried a different way to achieve similar things. And I feel like Kamala sees Amr's mistakes, and he's a good person, so he doesn't make a lot of like tragic mistakes. He makes mistakes in the sense of like I don't want to work in a bank because it's haram. I don't want to do this because it's haram, whatever, you know. She takes what the best parts of him and uses them as her guidance. And she takes the parts that, you know, he justifies through Islam, but it really kind of boils down to him being kind of lazy. And Kamala is not a lazy person. Kamala is a very high-functioning, active person. She has to be doing something, whether it's drawing something or fan fiction or saving the world. She has to be doing something, right? So she keeps the goodness in her heart, the goodness that she has learned from her brother, while being the opposite of him by being super high-functioning and active.
That's a great way to explain it, man.
Yeah, I just made that up right now, straight from the dome.
I love Woo! That.
Yeah, well done, man. 10 out of 10.
That's awesome. Were there any scenes that you did that they did not keep that you wish they did?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say.
Are you allowed to tell us? Oh, okay.
Oh, you know what? There's one thing I can talk about.
We almost got it out of you.
Yeah, there's one thing I could talk about. There's two things that I wish made it. One, I don't think I can talk about. Two, I can definitely talk about because it was my idea and they just didn't do it. But you know what a kip up is? It's like a, it's like when you're on your ground and you can like pop back up, right?
Oh yeah, okay.
Wrestlers do it all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I there was in the scene where Amr gets hit in the face. Like I can do a kip up, and so I was like, hey, come on, let Amr have a cool moment. You know, let the world see a side of Amr that like that nobody's seen. And so I was like, let him get knocked down and then do a kip up. Like he's got secrets. Everybody does, right? And so we shot a version that Amr gets back up. You know, he gets knocked down and then he does the kip up and gets back up. And I only found out that they didn't use that scene on November 10th when I watched the movie.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, inshallah, yeah. Next time in season two, we want to see a kip up.
Inshallah, man. If we get to do it, you know. I think you know, I'm lobbying for it, man. Weird. I want to do a season two. And yep. I want Amr to, you know, be like a not as, I guess. I feel like Amr can be pretty lame sometimes, you know? And I just want Amr to have tricks up his sleeve. I want him to be a little cooler, I think.
There is an arc in the comic book where Amr temporarily gets powers and then he gets taken into the FBI and then he's telling the FBI, I know the deal. I'm Muslim. I know how this works. Which I thought was pretty funny. That'd be a cool thing to play with.
That would be a cool scene. Yeah. I just really want Amr to have a moment.
Yo, everybody watching, everybody listening to this podcast when it goes live like tomorrow or day after, please tweet about this. Let people know you want to see a Ms. Marvel season 2. I know there are about like a couple thousand of you that are listening. So yes, please, let's make a push and let's get a season 2 going because I am so hyped for this.
Yeah, season 2 would be so cool. And, you know, Iman is super
There's so
excited.
Much story left to tell.
So much. I mean, come on. The last scene?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if we get a season 2, it's going to be really good. And you know, like the Marvels was really good, but it was a shared story. Right. And you give it back to like Sana Manat and it's her baby, right? She fosters it, cares for it. Like it is her life and it's just so safe in her hands and so good. Everything Sana does is so good.
Yeah. When we were talking about Ms. Marvel last time, right? We kept saying that this is a love story to all South Asians, right? This is a love story for us, like
and New Jersey.
Absolutely right. And New Jersey.
Even. Yeah.
We can't relate, but you know what? We'll give that to you. All right. You see the Texas in his background right there. But yeah, no, like if Sana were to get it back again, I think that would be amazing. And I really do hope she does because, yeah, it was.
Phenomenal. It's not happening without her. You know, like she's the one that's going to make it happen. And it just wouldn't be right if she didn't have season 2. I know she's working on a couple of other things right now, but hopefully when those are done, you know, season 2 gets greenlit and who knows, man.
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah.
All right, let's go to the comments real quick. Let's see. The Khan family really grounds the movie. What does it mean to see a brown family represented in the MCU? What do you hope those who don't share experience take away from seeing the Khan family?
Yeah, I really agree with that. Even though we're a wacky bunch, we're the only normal people in the movie, I think, right? What does it mean to see a brown family represented in MCU, in an MCU movie? I mean, that's huge, right?
Yeah.
It's huge. It's the biggest franchise in the world. It's like It's like if Dominic Toretto converted to Islam, people would lose their mind. If Fast and the Furious was like, you know, Fast and the Furious Yada, right?
Yada.
That'd be like insane.
I mean, you would think that in the galaxy, there might be someone who's Muslim.
You would hope, right?
I mean, there's got to be, right? If you think about it, right? We can't be, if God, you know, made the entire universe, all the galaxies, everything, right? Muslims can't be the only ones to go to heaven because they haven't even heard of Islam. Why wouldn't they go? Or like they got to have their own religions in other Earth-like planets, you know, that are, you know, almost synonymous or at least like analogous to Earth's Islam. Otherwise, like, I don't know, why would we be the anomaly?
No, you're right. In fact, the Quran says, you know, God created the heavens and the earths, and they're both plural.
Yeah.
Which really does mean that there are other worlds out there with possibly other life possibly. And I believe if I, you know, read the interpretations and all that correctly, it's that Islam would apply to us on this planet, but then every other planet would have their own version of it in a different way. So yes, you are absolutely right about that, man.
I think the Cree might have a version of Islam because Hala is just one letter away from halal.
Wow.
That's a good point. I can't even argue with it.
What if there's the what if version, if where Amr gets power and it's the voice acting role?
That would be cool. I can confirm that that's not happening in season two.
Maybe what if season three? What about the zombie? I mean, we know that Kamala is in the zombie season. Any of the family might be joining her?
Do we know that?
Yeah, in San Diego Comic Con, they released images of Kamala Khan in the zombie season.
Oh, got it. Yeah, I haven't seen that. And yeah, I'm not a part of it.
Hopefully you're not dead.
Yeah, who cares?
It's a zombie version. Now.
Yeah.
There's so many multiverses. It doesn't matter. You're always alive in one of them.
That's true, yeah. And you know, in the end of season one, when Bruno was like, yeah, we checked Amir and your parents' genetics, and it's, you know, they don't say share the same genes, the mutant gene as you, whatever, the mutated gene. In that moment, I was like, fuck, they really nipped it in the bud, didn't they? They really said, Sagar, you will never become a mutant. Not on this, not on Earth 616 or 1999.
Yeah. But, your only power is your beautiful beard that we have to fake now.
Yeah, because I'm not growing it back. I'm not growing it back.
You heard it here first. Carlos saying.
That's hilarious. I'm gonna get the power to actually mute his mother when she brings a baby. That's his only superpower.
Yeah,
that's funny.
That's what you stuck with, man.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Listen, thank you so much for being on the show. Another thing that we wanted to thank you about, and people definitely asked us to mention this. You've been posting a lot about some of the stuff that's been going on in the world, and people really appreciate what you've been doing. It's good to see somebody of your caliber. To do that, it's not something we expect from everybody, but it's really amazing that you're going out of your way to post that stuff.
Thank you, man. Yeah, honestly, it's a really sad time in the world, and you know, I was really hesitant to even come on this podcast because I've been actively not promoting the movie, and you know, I just don't think it's important. You know, it's a fucking movie, and like,
yeah,
people are dying, and it's, you know, we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave myself the like the permission to, I guess, I still don't feel like this was promoting the movie. I'm not saying, hey, go watch it, whatever, but But, you know, this is the Muslim network, and I think we're all on the same page about what's going on. And I don't give a fuck if my job is on the line. Because I'll find another one, you know. I'll become a carpenter if I have to. I don't care.
Hell yeah.
You have the beard for it.
Yeah. And the
No, we really do appreciate that. And we've been, you know, following, you know, BDS guideline where they're telling us to put pressure. And we do feel like we have to engage with people in order to put pressure on some of these companies. So that's what we've been doing. So we've been trying to toe that line in, you know, engaging with these companies, but also pressuring them to do the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what we got to do, right? Everybody's got a voice, and if you're not using it, why are you here?
Exactly. Absolutely. What's the point?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, with that being said, man, I...
Wait.
What's up?
One more comment.
Oh, I know what you're going to do.
Quick, so, Sagar, this guy, Dirty Goat Smuggler, as he's called now, on every episode of our podcast, he will come in and ask about Quake. And Quake is this Marvel hero where she's...
she's from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. And so this guy's been trying to manifest Quake in the MCU for so long. So, just for funsies,
they cut her scene. They cut all of her scenes, man. They cut... You know, it was supposed to be... Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, Miss Marvel, and Quake. They were all four there on set the entire time. And I can't even tell you who plays Quake because that would be breaking NDA. But I'll tell you, man, she was good.
I'm going to clip this part and people are going to think it's real.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is real.
It's absolutely real. We believe it. All right, man. Jazz, any more questions before we go?
Hold on. Let's go through the comments real quick. How cool was Teyonah Paris?
She was really cool. I liked her a lot. Yeah, I just saw her the other day. She's super nice. She just had a baby. Yeah. She doesn't live in LA, so I don't see her that often. But yeah, she's super nice. It's fun to work with her. But my guy Samuel Jackson, he's the best. He's the best. Here's a fun story about Samuel Jackson. So I really like Dave's Hot Chicken, as does everybody, and I know that he owns a part of Dave's. And so I asked him, and I was like, Sam, you know, I heard you have a stake in Dave's. And he's like, Dave's Hot Chicken. And I was like, yeah, Dave's Hot Chicken. He's like, yeah, I love Dave's, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, whenever we're back in LA, let me know. We'll go and I'll get you some free Dave's. And I was like, fuck yeah, Samuel Jackson, fuck yeah, getting me some Dave's. And then the next day he came in and I'm looking for this picture. So the next day he comes in to work and he shows me this card that he has that every time he goes into Dave's, he presents this card, which I'm still looking for, but it's here. It's coming. It's worth it.
Is it like unlimited free chicken?
Yeah. It's like a...
No. Wow.
Samuel Jackson, so Dave's chicken card, right?
That's the Amex.
I'm like, yo, Sam, let me get a picture of that real quick.
Oh, that's so cool.
Funny. Yeah.
And, that's the actual design. Yeah, of the Amex black card, but they did the chicken. Yeah.
I'm asking what's in your wallet.
I know, right? And then I reached out and he never responded. So.
Oh, man. Rip. We need some Samuel Jackson hot chicken.
He's really cool. He actually, on our last day, he was like, the last time I saw him, literally, he was like, reach out to me. And I said, how? And he was getting in his car and he goes, I'll reach out to you. And then he leaves. And 30 minutes later, I get a notification. Samuel Jackson's followed you on Instagram.
And then, wow.
And then he sent me a DM and it said SLJ dash phone number.
Wow.
Wow.
Insane.
That's the coolest thing that's ever happened to anybody I know.
Yeah. I mean, how will I top that? I've peaked. Where do I go from here?
I don't know, man.
Who
I don't know.
Can follow me? Who can DM me their phone number and it would be cooler than this?
Nobody. That's Shaft, bro. That's fucking Shaft. That's Nick Fury. Shaft,
dude.
I'm trying to think. Like, yeah, I can't think of anybody. Like, yeah, no you've peaked, man.
The answer is there is no one.
No.
I mean, Shah Rukh Khan, but like, you know, it's not the same.
Like, if anything, it's at the same level. It's not higher or anything. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Doesn't got that badass factor.
You've hit the ceiling. Damn, dude.
I don't know what to do from here. It's why I don't care if I lose my job.
True. True. Yeah. Can't get higher than that. No, that's true. But we would love to have you back on once your show on Hulu drops. We would love to watch it and recap those episodes too. That looks like a really fun show.
Yeah, let's do it. We can do it for sure. Again, I don't know when it comes out. I have a feeling it's going to be around summer 24.
We'll be around.
But maybe not, because we'll probably be shooting until like May. And then we'll see.
Yeah, it might be a fall show then, just to give it some time to like market and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
All right, last question.
Yeah,
so the question is, can Sagar talk for a few moments about Nia DaCosta? She seems to be getting railroaded right now.
And that's the reference to all the Variety articles that have been coming out, which like you guys are probably like listening to and being like, this is so BS, because some of it is so wrong and it's been proven wrong over and over again.
It really is. I mean, Nia... Look, I've only worked with like 6 directors in my life, 4 of them being on Ms. Marvel, 1 of them on the Marvels, and 1 of them on the new show. Nia's fucking awesome, dude. She's so cool. She's so smart. She's like super excited about everything she works on, and she comes to it through such an analytical approach and she really is like an actor's director, you know. She cares about every detail of the project, and everything is a conversation. She just wants everything to be like good, and she wants everybody to be happy. Deadline put out an article saying since she bailed on a casting crew screening of the movie, which is bullshit. It was her fucking birthday. And we were all at her birthday party. None of us went because we were all out celebrating her birthday.
Wow. Yo, they're reaching. They're reaching so hard. They've got a vendetta against Marvel.
Honestly, and I don't want to talk too much about this because I don't want to overstep, but I feel like the trades, you know, Variety, Deadline, Hollywood Reporter, they, along with misogyny and the strike and among other things, they were really trying to set this movie up to fail.
Yeah.
Yes. 100% you know? Agreed.
A lot of people have been saying that.
Yeah. And that really sucks because a lot of people worked really hard on this movie, and we were having such a good time doing it, and we were so excited about it, and you know, we rolled with all the punches, and then just to see like all these fucking like jerk offs living in their mom's basement talking about how they're not gonna watch it, and you know, and yeah, I mean, it's like you would expect it from those guys, you know, from people like that. You wouldn't expect it from the trades of your own industry, you know. Mm-hmm. But fuck them, right? We move.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah,
I like this comment 100%. Right here. People had already pre-ordered their hate for this movie before it even came out.
Yeah, truly, truly. And those same people, a lot of them are like, oh, yo, I actually watched the Marvels and it was pretty good. But the damage is fucking done, dude.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know, not only did they hurt the movie, but they hurt all the actors and writers and directors on the movie, not just by their comments, but like, we make money on the back end,
mm-hmm.
and the movie didn't do well, so we're not making money.
Very true.
That hurts because we are, I can at least speak for, you know, for me and Iman and the parents, you know, like we worked hard, man. And then we're all, you know, relatively new, especially me and Iman, right? You know, I've been around doing this for a long time, but my career is just taking off. And I want the things that I do to do well. And it feels like we got stuck in the crosshairs of like this weird moment that you know, they say Marvel is having. And it sucks because, like, you know, we were excited and hopeful and we worked really hard, only to just like get shit on by you know, people that never wanted to like it. They didn't want to give it a chance to like it. They wanted so badly to hate it. And they got what they wanted at the expense of us, you know, being able to pay rent.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they have this idea that if they keep shitting on these movies with female leads and diverse, you know, actors, we'll go back to just casting all white men in their 20s again, which is never going to happen. We have passed that point as society. We're not going to go back there. Yeah. There's nobody watching these like movies with an all white cast because it feels weird now. We're too like, it just doesn't feel right anymore. So these people hoping that they'll just shit on movies and things will go back to the way they were, it's useless. It's pointless.
You're right. But here's the thing, right? Numbers don't lie, right? But people do. And people can lie enough to manipulate the emotions of people to make the numbers not lie, and it'll fail a box office, right? Like if something's doing really well, you can see that with the numbers, and if something isn't doing really well, you can also see that with the numbers. If something was supposed to do well, like this movie, you know, which I still think is a good movie, and it did,
it's great,
it did well, it should have done a lot better. But because people lie or hate or whatever, they, you know, manipulated people's emotions and feelings and made people decide that they weren't going to watch this movie, and it made it what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true.
I'm sorry, man. Like,
no, I mean, it really is what it is. We move on, you know, like we'll for sure. We just have to, you know, use this momentum to get the next job and hopefully that one is better, or you know, hopefully people don't hate it, pre-order their hate.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And hopefully when it gets on Disney Plus, you know, maybe it'll make some moves there. So that might be an option.
Actually, that's a question now that you mentioned it. Do you get like streaming residuals now with the new SAG-AFTRA deal, or do you not know?
I don't think the deal is going to get ratified.
Oh, wow.
I think more than 50% of people are going to vote no to ratifying it. I don't think it's a great deal, especially because they won't give us details.
Yeah.
You know, they just...
Oh, they still haven't given you all details?
Yeah, no. But that being said, if it were to get ratified, this would probably be like grandfathered in to the old.
Oh, because it was before it was shot and everything before.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. I will I need to talk to my team about that because I'll tell you right now, the streaming on Ms. Marvel is not great. I just got this check in the other day, and it is pretty sad.
We don't want to.
For a year of residuals.
Hate to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, man.
We chose this life. We're going to advocate for you guys. We support a strike. We're going to support you all the way, man. Like always. Like,
yeah,
hang
yeah,
in there. We got you. Yes.
I appreciate it.
For sure.
Absolutely, and, man.
Yeah.
And open invite. You ever want to come on our show, promote whatever you want to promote, man, you're always welcome here. Even if you want to just come out here and bitch at people, we'll bitch at them with you.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, man. Well, thank you for being on our show. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Hey, salam.
Peace.